Jonah is the prophet for anyone who's ever been asked to do something by God that they just didn't want to do. And he's also the prophet for anyone who has trouble seeing the forgiving love of God poured out not just on the deserving, but on all people. The truth is, God's mercy that feels so amazing when it washes over you can feel very different when you see that same mercy washing over your enemy. And Jonah knows exactly what that is like. So let us pray. Oh God, you are the one who claims us, and we seek to follow in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ. Open us now to hear your words through the prophet Jonah, that as we listen, we might be reminded of how vast your love for all that you have made remains. Through Jesus the Christ, amen. Let me invite you now to hear these words from the prophet Jonah. And as we listen today, let's listen together for the word of God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to them the message that I will tell you." So Jonah set out, and he went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly large city. It would take you 3 days to walk across. And Jonah began to go into the city, going about a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. And do you know what happened? The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, both great and small, put on sackcloth. And when the news of this reached the king of Nineveh, he stood up from his throne, removed his robe, and he covered himself with sackcloth. And he sat down in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways, and they shall turn from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. God may turn from his fierce anger so that we don't perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And God did not do it. The word of the Lord. Well, as you could tell, this is a story that fascinates young children. I was amazed listening to Pastor Ann's conversation with them there. I heard a couple of things that I had forgotten in the story of Jonah. Not that they were new, I had just forgotten them. This is a familiar story. Probably familiar to many of us because we heard it when we were children. But it's also familiar because it talks to us of someone who is asked by God to do something that he doesn't want to do. In the very first words of the book, God says to Jonah, "I've got a job for you. Go to that great city of Nineveh. Cry out against it that the wicked city and all that live here, everyone who is here, cry out against them." So you know what Jonah does. The exact opposite of what God asks. He gets up and he goes. He goes to the city of Joppa. And he marches down to the dock there on the sea to catch a boat. And then he hops on that ship that's going in the opposite direction. God says, go east to Nineveh. Jonah heads west to Tarshish. You remember what happens next. The storm comes up on the sea, and Jonah is thrown overboard by those on the boat trying to appease the storm, to calm the storm. And then God sends the great fish to grab Jonah and bring him back east, back to the shore where he had started. Now, give Jonah some credit. Not many people stuck in the belly of a great fish could write a psalm, but he writes a perfect psalm, flawless in its grammar, there from the belly of the fish. And this causes the great fish to cough up this reluctant preacher. And God says a second time, now, Jonah, get going to Nineveh. Go to that great city and do what I want you to do. Well, this is a story. There's no mistaking the reality. It's a story of a man who is called by God to do something that he doesn't want to do. And so he tries to run from the presence of God. Maybe you've tried that in your life. It does not have a way of working out too well. Well, we started our reading today about the time when God catches up with him, when God steers Jonah back. When God says to Jonah a second time, get going to Nineveh. And it's interesting that the Lord adds, and I will tell you what to say. Now, we don't really know if Jonah was listening when God spoke in that moment. But what we do know is that when Jonah got to Nineveh, he preached a sermon with only 5 Hebrew words in it. And the loose translation of those 5 words are basically, hey, Nineveh, in 40 days, God's going to blow you to bits. Now imagine Jonah walking a full day's journey into the city with step after step proclaiming those 5 words all day. 40 days, 40 days. And God's going to blow you to bits. He starts preaching that sermon. And what's remarkable is that even though the people of Nineveh don't speak Hebrew, they begin to take notice of this prophet among them. I mean, how could they not notice Jonah? As one commentator imagines it, Jonah has been 3 days in the belly of a fish, and you can imagine that he must have been bleached white by those digestive gases. And if you saw him, you'd have noticed his clothes were ragged. There might have been seaweed hanging from an ear. And he strolls into the center of town and belts out his message. You cannot miss Jonah. 40 days. And then he starts counting down. Only the people do something. It's hard to imagine. Jonah didn't want to imagine. The people believe God. And they cry out to God and they change their evil ways. The king of Nineveh hears the sermon and he repents. According to the story, even the cattle hear the sermon and they repent. Not only that, but according to the story, God is so impressed with Jonah's sermon that even God repents. That's what it says. God changed his mind. Well, thanks to Jonah and his 5-word sermon, everybody has turned their face toward God. Which, if you think about it, is probably what God wanted in the first place. That's the good news. But then there's the bad news. This result doesn't make Jonah happy at all. Not one bit. In fact, when Jonah sees the people of Nineveh and how they respond to this message, he gets furious. not so much at them, but at God. Come on, God, I knew you were going to do this. That's why I ran from you in the first place. When I preach destruction, I want destruction. But here you are, so merciful, so kind, so forgiving. Well, God, it just makes me sick. Now, I hope you find some humor in this. See, the book of Jonah is a satire. It's poking fun at every exclusive, narrow-minded expression of religion that we can think of. This is theology as high comedy. And maybe that's why it disturbs us so deeply. We don't just nod our heads because the story shows us someone that we sometimes are like, someone who knows what it's like not to want to do what God asks. Now that reality can be strangely comforting, but there's more to this story than that. And that's why when we really hear it, when we really hear this story, our legs buckle beneath us, and our heart starts to race at what the story is showing. Because this story doesn't just show us a reluctant prophet. No, it also reveals an extravagant God, a promiscuous God, who keeps stretching us in ways that we would rather not be stretched. Jonah's story draws us a picture of a God who is so loving, so patient, and so relentlessly gracious that this story pushes us to shatter our human boundaries that always seek to limit God's infinite grace. What made Jonah so angry? Well, he gives us the long answer. According to Jonah, what made him so angry is that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. But maybe you prefer the shorter answer. Why was Jonah so angry? Because God loves too many people. That's why if you look at Jonah, his fists are clenched in silent rage. God insists on loving the very people Jonah wants to destroy. So here's the problem. Jonah had no trouble trusting in a God who was gracious and merciful, as long as the grace and mercy were only poured out on the right people. But the problem, at least according to Jonah, is that God doesn't seem to notice. Or if God notices, God doesn't seem to care who are the ones deserving of the mercy that flows from the heart of God. Well, maybe you understand. In fact, I'm sure you do. Because every single one of us has had to wrestle with that question at some point in our lives. The question that asks, how far does the love of God reach? When Jesus asked that question, the way he answered it with his words and his deeds got him into a lot of trouble. Jesus never seemed to distinguish between the people he taught and healed. He preached to the poor. He cured those who had been ignored by physicians, those shunned by the community he welcomed. Day after day, Jesus walked into a crowd full of need, intended and cared for one person after another. And just when somebody was ready to typecast Jesus, he went into the home of a rich tax collector and broke bread with the wealthy Pharisees. He just didn't seem to distinguish between the rich and the poor, male and female, insiders and outsiders. He didn't restrict his love to one group over another. No, in the name of God, Jesus just gave himself to the world. How far can God's love reach? You've struggled with that question. The church has struggled with that question from the very beginning. When Jesus was dead and risen, along came Simon Peter preaching about him. And one day Peter is sitting on top of the roof in the city of Joppa, the place where Jonah catches the boat. Simon Peter is just there minding his own business, waiting for lunch, saying a few prayers, and God breaks through and says, "I want you to preach judgment and mercy to people outside of your circle." And Peter doesn't want to do it, but the Spirit said, "Too late. The messengers are already here. They're downstairs right now, knocking on their door, ready to take you to Cornelius." All of this taking place in the 10th chapter of Acts. And by the 15th chapter, the church is in its first major disagreement. All the preachers are called in from the distant lands, called in from the frontier, and everyone is squabbling about this one issue. How many outsiders are we going to let into the church? How many foreigners get into God's church? Or to put it in words that Jonah would understand, how far can God's love reach? The problem, it seems, is that God just keeps inviting everybody. It shows the church doesn't have new stories to tell. Rather, we keep telling the same story of a God who loves everybody, who is merciful to everybody, who is kind to everybody, but who is stuck with some reluctant messengers. When are we going to get it straight that the love of God is for all people? That the judgment of God is laid upon every human heart? That the mercy of God can forgive every sin and give second chances to every person? I guess I'm wondering when we'll realize that the problem isn't that God loves too many people, but that we don't love enough. Now, I know that's hard for you to hear. I know it's hard for you to hear because it's hard for me to say, and it's hard for me to hear it about myself when doing so. But turn on any television, click on any website, or listen to just about any conversation within earshot of you in the coffee shop, or if you're really brave, listen to the conversation taking place within your own heart and notice the sobering truth. We are too ready to draw the clear lines to our Ninevites, the people we believe aren't worthy of God's grace and God's mercy. I wrestle with mine. Have you wrestled with yours? Do you know who your Ninevites are? The blasted liberals? The Muslims, refugees, people of color, feminists, fake newsers, resistors, racists? That's the danger. Who gets to tell God who the Ninevites are. And who gets to tell God what should be done with them? Jonah learned the hard way. Maybe we will too. But no one gets to tell God what to do with the Ninevites. And I know how frustrating that can be, how infuriating it can be. But I also know something else, and I suspect you know it too. It is good news. It is still good news. The good news is that God is willing to love anybody, even the Ninevites, even Jonah, even the Gentiles, even you, even me, even me. Well, let me invite you now to stand with me, and together let's say what we believe. God is greater than our understanding. We do not fully comprehend who God is or how He works. God's reality far exceeds all our words can say. The Lord's requirements are not always what we think is best. The Lord's care for us is not always what we want. God comes to us on His own terms and is able to do far more than we ask or think. God's Spirit is free. The Spirit created readiness for the gospel where the first Christians least expected it. The Spirit often thwarted their plans and led them in new directions. They could not coerce or restrict the Spirit. We affirm the Spirit's freedom. The Holy Spirit works in the church, but not on our terms or under our control. The Holy Spirit works beyond the church, even among those we suspect or scorn.